Today on Real Radio.
Science doesn't confirm the Bible. The Bible has confirmed science. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, archaeology.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. And what exactly do Christians believe? Well, it's all found in Scripture, God's written word. That's the focus of today's program, which is simply entitled About the Bible. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says of itself that it is the word of God, and it's absolutely authoritative. And in Psalm 119, verse 89, this is a great verse. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." That means God's word never changes. Nothing's going to move it. Jesus backed that up by saying in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away." But what did he say? "My word shall never pass away." Man. Historically, the Bible has always been under attack, and that's okay. But what I have fun with right now, because, you know, if you think about it throughout history, if you've done any study on this, nations fear this book. You know that? I got to be careful. Mine's falling apart here. Nations fear this book. Communism hates this book. Did you know that? The Soviet Empire, the communist Chinese, Fidel Castro hates this book. Nations hate the Bible, scared to death of it. Communist regimes will search you and pat you down to make sure you're not bringing a Bible into their country. They'll tolerate other crimes, but if you have a Bible, you're going to prison. We know people in China who have been beaten. Elderly couple, they were beaten because their flat, their apartment in China was bugged. And you speak in codes. How's the weather? How's the weather has nothing to do with the weather. Everything was codes, because the government's listening for fear you might be a Christian. One time, the police of China, they came in there and they beat them with the ends of their sticks. Old couple. Nations fear the Bible. Communism hates the Bible. Closed societies forbid it. Isn't that interesting? It's just a book, isn't it? It's just a book. And all it is a little book of fables, a book that a bunch of people wrote. If that's true, if Satan's duping people on this side of the Pacific and the Atlantic, but he's thinking, think about it, he's thinking a different way in those other countries. Those people in those countries, including those leaders, they do not think it's a little goofy book. It changes people's lives. The Bible has formed society and nations. I did some research today on this. Did you know that in the founding of America, even before 1776, in the 1600s, for nearly 200 years in America, the Bible was the chief school book in all of our educational institutions from first grade. They didn't have first grade then. They called it something different. From the littlest ones in school, all the way through to university, and if you were to graduate from Cornell, Yale, or Harvard, you had to have Bible first, Greek and Hebrew from Old Testament and New Testament. You had to know it. Bible was preeminent. On the logo of UCLA, it's an open book, and it says, "Let there be light," taken from Genesis. Interesting. The Bible. Oh, it's just a silly book. It's not a silly book if you would just take the time to get into it and find out what it's all about. But I love this. In fact, I have a tendency to get a little ornery about this one. If it's just such a dorky, silly little book, how is it that it has survived as it has? How is it that no one is smuggling Playboy magazines into China? Come on, we got to get these things in. Pray that we get them in. But people are praying. and smuggling and risking their lives to get Bibles into lands that it's not allowed. Wake up. Think about it. We are so blessed. We open up a refrigerator, food falls out. Same is true about our spiritual produce, so to speak, here where we live in the West. We can go to any church, Southern California. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I wouldn't live in Southern California. It's so pagan. You know what? That's true, it is. But I got to tell you, there are more right-on Bible-believing churches in Southern California, I guess, where there's a lot of darkness, there's also a lot of light. And you know what? We're blessed, man. We can turn on radio stations and hear sermons by ministries all day long. We're so spoiled. We get spoiled. Oh, I've already heard that message. People would die in other countries for one. They're gathered around, crank up little radio. They crank them up. The radio to get a transmission. Did you know that? And then there's the gathering together, the assemblage of the Bible, how we got our Bible. There are other religious books. How is it that they didn't make it into the Bible? The Bible, for it to be on your lap as it is throughout thousands of years, the agreement of other scriptures. For example, what's in the New Testament agrees with what's in the Old. Then there's extra biblical books that never made it in, the Apocrypha, other religious writings. They contradict the Bible. That's why they're not in your Bible. Various things that we'll look in more in a moment. Number two, second point, about the Bible. The Bible is inerrant. It's not only inspired, it's inerrant. The Bible in its original languages has no errors in it. In English, remember, this is such a shock, the Bible was not written in English. Of course, God knows English, but he chooses apparently to speak in Greek and Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic, Daniel chapter 2 to 7. But I tell you what, if you were going to paint a picture, speaking in English is like painting in black and white. If you're going to paint a picture linguistically, you'd want to paint a picture using Greek or Hebrew, the two most colorful languages in all the history of mankind. Did you know that? We say, oh, I just love how beautiful it is today. That's what we say in English. I love my dog. I love my wife. I love the day. I love my car. What do you mean? Well, you know, it's... In Greek and Hebrew, you got a word for every one of those things that applies. And the word you use for I love God and I love my car, let me tell you, buddy, they're two different words, I'll tell you that. It's amazing. The inspiration, yes, the inerrancy of God's word, it is pregnant with meaning and with accuracy. The inerrant word of God is so very, very important because it's how we have our assurance. When Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know why you love that verse? Because it is the inerrant word of God. There's no mistakes in it. The Bible has been proven to be without mistakes. You say, well, my boss at work told me there's all kinds of mistakes in it. You have your boss produce one mistake, and the guy will be a billionaire. He'll be the most famous guy around. You look at people who launched out on their lives to discredit the Bible. They died bitter or they died saved going to heaven. Josh McDowell was one of them. Bertrand Russell hated God, hated Christians, hated the Bible. On his deathbed, he cried out screaming. And he says, man and all of his labors amounts to nothing, for death comes upon me pitless and dark. He screamed and kicking in his bed, and he died. And then you see Paul the Apostle and others who have followed in his place. Because of the inerrancy of the Bible, you can stand upon it. And Paul says, what is laid up for me is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day. And not only me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Isn't that awesome? The inerrant word of God. It's inerrant because it's from God. God's perfect. He's not going to give something that doesn't match perfection. And the Bible is proven to be God's perfect word. You know what Albert Einstein said? Einstein said, God must exist because mathematics exist. These two are without error. And that's why they're so hard to understand. Isn't that great? Say, I hate math. Math's perfect, you know? Well, I kind of got it right. You kind of got it right. Can you imagine a NASA scientist? Well, you know what? We did our best. We kind of got the math right. Would you get into that thing? I'm not getting into that thing. You're not shooting me out in the space. Can you imagine going to the manufacturers and Mercedes-Benz? Well, you know, you're going to be an engineer with us? How's your math? I kind of got like C's. You're not working here. Math, Einstein said, is perfect, and so God must exist. The Bible is perfect in its original language. God must exist. He's the author of the book, inerrant. 66 books written by 40 different people, spanning the time of nearly 2,000 years from Old Testament to New. And it's absolutely in perfect harmony with itself. And many of these authors, most of them, if not all of them, never met one another, except for, as you know, the gospel writers. Amazing. It's hard to get two guys to agree or stand in the same room. The Bible is inerrant. It's God's holy word. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord, that is God's word, is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Listen to what the benefits are. "The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening your eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey to the and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward." The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. This book has been created and sustained and presented to us by God. Number three, what Christians believe about the Bible is that the Bible is contemporary to this generation. And to everyone, for that matter. But listen, to this generation. It's the nature of the Bible. Isn't this fun? You can pick up this book, Moses. Think about it. Elijah. How far back do you want to go? Nehemiah. They had the Bible. It's sitting on your lap. By the time John wrote Revelation, much of the New Testament was available to him. It's in your lap. That is fantastic. What's exciting about that is that the Bible's contemporary to every generation. You say, well, it's an old book. Yes, it is an old book. But I warn you, it's more ready and more able and more current than tomorrow's newspaper. It's the very nature of God's communication to us. Listen, God's Bible, contemporary to our very time. You look at the things around us, the social issues, the Bible has the answer. Isn't it amazing? Think about it. Here's a hot one. It's kind of died down somewhat, but remember A.C. Green? Wasn't he a Laker at one time? Remember way back? And then he went down to Florida. A.C. Green, Christian NBA star. A.C. Green, I don't know anything about his current life, but for years he was not married, a Christian, and a virgin. And everybody made fun of A.C. Green. A.C. Green didn't have to worry about herpes and AIDS and all that other sexually transmitted diseases. He had teammates that had those diseases. And the more they got infected, the more they hated A.C. Green. And you say, well, that is so old-fashioned. You know what? Okay, if you want to put it like that, I guess you're right, it's old-fashioned. But you know what? God says, hey, you know what? I got a plan for your life. And here it is. When you're single, don't have sex because it can kill you. And if it doesn't kill you, it leaves such a scar in your imagination and in your soul and in your mind, it's going to be very, very hard living for the rest of your life because it makes an imprint on your soul. It will affect you in your head and in your heart. That's what the Bible says. Then God says, after you get married, have sex all the time. Go, 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 go. It says go, and only stop except when you, the husband and wife, agree to stop. We got to stop. Stop! We've got to stop! How come? For fasting and prayer, it says. And then it says, after fasting and prayer, what's it say? Come, what's it say? It says, come back together again quickly, lest Satan tempt you. So, well, that's old-fashioned. Does that sound old-fashioned? Sounds pretty contemporary to me. Well, man, you know, I don't know. I'm single. I don't know if I can handle it. Why don't you give your heart to Christ? Let God find you that perfect mate. Watch what happens. Be careful.
Oh, man, you sound like my dad.
Hey, I'm not your dad, so listen, okay? I'm not your dad. You mess around and it puts a scar on your soul, on your emotions. And you'll carry that into relationships. You'll carry it into marriage someday. And then you have to come to church and sit in counseling and try to work all that stuff out, and it's hard. But greater is he that is in us, you know, than he that's in the world. God's word. What Christians believe about the Bible, number four, is that the Bible is verifiable by the sciences. The Bible is verifiable by the sciences, meaning this, that science, I want to make sure you hear this, the sciences have been confirmed by the Bible in actuality. Did you hear that? I said that correctly. When I said in the fourth point, the Bible is verifiable by the sciences, it's better understood that the sciences have been confirmed by the Bible. Do you know that? Science doesn't confirm the Bible. The Bible has confirmed science. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, archaeology. Archaeology doesn't prove that the Bible's real if you understand the Bible. The Bible says in such perfect detail of a certain location, a certain people, a nation, a region, a city, a tribe, a culture, a people. The Bible says it, and as a matter of fact, the Amalekites dwelt in this area. That's what the Bible says, okay? You know what science does? This is true. The Smithsonian Institute consults the chief archaeological source for digs, for digging, for archaeological study. Do you know what that book is? The Bible. What does that do to you? That ought to get you pumped up. The Smithsonian will open up the Bible and read it and find areas where it speaks about, and then they'll get on an airplane, they'll fly to the Middle East, and they'll start probing around in areas, start digging because they got a lead. Where'd the lead come from? The Bible. They start digging, and what do they find? Coinage, pottery, idols, certain things of certain cultures, evidence that the Amalekites really lived right there. This is your Bible. The Bible states it, and then science catches up to the biblical truth. Isn't that fun? The Bible says that life began in the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley. That's what the Bible says. Guess what science says? The same thing now. What do they call it? They don't call it, you know, the Bible. They don't call it on MSNBC or ABC. What do they call it? The cradle of civilization, where it all began. Oh, Peter Jennings, where's that at? Right here, between the Tigris and Euphrates River Valley. That's exactly what the Bible said for thousands of years. Isn't that wild? The Bible says that Babylon truly existed, and it dwelt in a land that we know today as modern-day Iraq. What does archaeology say? They say exactly the same thing. Babylon, ancient Babylon. It's right there, not far from Baghdad in Iraq. The Bible says Nineveh really existed. It's not some allegorical story. It's real. What does archaeology say? Now Nineveh is modern-day Mosul. And they'll tell you that. Today it's Mosul, but way back when it was Nineveh. And the evidence is there. And you can go on for days with this information. Archaeological, astronomical, astronomy, the heavens, the stars, the universes, because there are clusters of them now we know from the Hubble. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is the beginning of the physical universe. That's the beginning. Celestial bodies, the suns and moons and stars under ordered precision, according to the Bible. The Bible says, as we read earlier in Psalm 19, that God orders them. He says in Psalm 19, verse 5, he brings out the sun in his strength, and he runs like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion. The sun runs like a horse on his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit, and nothing is hidden from its heat. David wrote that thousands of years ago. Job chapter 38, then the Lord answered Job out of a storm and said to him, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? How's that for, wow, Job's complaining. I don't understand, I don't want. He's just, poor guy, he had it rough. I mean, but God says, who is this who speaks without knowledge?
It's me, Lord, just me.
Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you now, Job, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out it and measured the line across it? On what were its footings set? Well, everybody knows it's on the back of two elephants, I'm right? Right? Who laid its cornerstone while the angels sang together and the angels shouted for joy at the creation? Have you ever given orders to the morning light or shown the dawn its place? The earth takes shape like the clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the earth? Tell me, Job, if you know all these things. What is the way of the source of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you bind the beauty of the Pleiades? You guys, the Pleiades. How many of you have heard of the Pleiades before? Look at your hands. You want to know why? It's in astronomy classes. The Pleiades really exist. Job is the oldest book in the world. It's the oldest book. And God's telling Job, and Job wrote it down. Pleiades. Job precedes Moses in Genesis. God says, can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? You can see Orion. Well, I don't know if you can see Orion tonight, but you can see Orion in the sky. Can you bring forth the Maseroth in their seasons? You know what Maseroth? Maseroth's Hebrew. You know the Babylonian word. Maseroth is Hebrew for the constellations. How many of them? 12 of them. But Babylon took Israel captive and changed all of its cultural meanings and understanding and perverted it. And you know it by its, you know Babylonian, you didn't even know it. In Babylonian, it's called zodiac. It's the corruption of something that was holy, made by God. He says, Job, can you bring out the zodiac in all of its seasons and tell me about it? Can you lead the bear with her cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens, of astronomy? Can you set up God's domain over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolt on its way through its path? Do they report back to you? Isn't that awesome? I tell you, you want to get pumped up, read your kids Job chapter 38. It'll just blow your mind.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study simply called About the Bible. It's an examination of how Scripture, our Creator's special revelation to His people, plays a major role in our faith. About the Bible, it's part of Pastor Jack's initial look into the series we call What Christians Believe, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you're being blessed by Real Radio, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and drop Pastor Jack a line. Truth is, he loves to get words of encouragement from listeners. RealRadioactive.org. Go there and click the button that says Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack, even if it's just a few short words, you only got a few seconds. Take that few seconds and drop us a note. And while you're there, you can also read what others have written, like this listener on Bridge FM. Pastor Jack, I live in New City, New York, and faithfully listen to you every morning. My daughter and I wait for the school bus and find ourselves smiling while listening to your messages about Jesus. I rarely miss Real Radio. I pray you continue this wonderful program. So there you have it. Simply go to realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.